It's 8:11 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102.
You got to turn that music off because I'm distracted a little bit. Yeah, it's not working.
What are you trying to hum?
Google has a song finder now. A simple cure for the earworms or the stuck song syndrome.
Right.
You can hum, whistle, or sing a tune even off key, and Google will rustle up a short list of possibilities. This is something I believe on the Google Assistant, whether that's Alexa or Siri or whatever. You tap the microphone and you say, "What's this song?" Or you click the search a song button, and then you can hum for 10 to 15 seconds. Or simply say into it, "Hey, Google, what's this song?" And then you hum it. And then you can listen to the song on a music app. You can find the lyrics. You can get information on the song, the artist, and more.
Uh-huh.
It's the new Google learning algorithms that scan digitized songs to pick out potential matches. Google is asked 100 million times a month, what is this song?
And they've been able to...
100 million times.
And it's accurate how many times? What's the percentage?
I don't think it's been out long enough to even measure that yet.
Yeah.
Plus, it offers you a list of songs.
Well, I mean, you know, and I know, you know, being in this business all the time, you know, back when you were doing, like, you know, music radio, people would call the radio stations like, "Hey, could you play that one song you played like an hour ago?" I'm like, "Well, what is it?" And they couldn't tell you what it was. And
yeah, then on a classic rock station.
I know. And then they would try to hum it or sing it.
Right.
And
right.
We were somehow meant you know, to decipher what was going on. And it was impossible. Yeah. Absolutely
what's
impossible.
That song? What's that song with the kids singing, "We Don't Need No Education"? I don't know.
What's the name
of
that?
You know what? And more importantly, if you don't know, we're not playing it.
Hey, what's the name of that song about a black dog? I believe it's called Black Dog. No.
It's got a dog
is black and...
Oh, you mean White Bird. Yeah, that's the one.
That's right. Yeah, by It's a Beautiful Day.
Yeah.
That's the one that everybody wants to hear.
Now, the other thing Google is doing, although this sounds like it's not really working that well, it's called Hold For Me. It's a feature that kicks in once one of those pesky airline or hotels put you on hold on their toll-free numbers. Then when the music stops and a live person comes through, a tone will ring to let you know that it's time for you to pay attention and come back to the phone to talk. Now, they actually gave them 5 stars for PR savvy, but only 2 stars for reality. Because the problem is, how many times do you get put on hold, you think you're listening to music, and then there's a continuous loop message
of an
automated voice telling you the same thing over and over and over
again. Years ago, the phone companies used to offer that service where you would be called back. And I forgot what it was called, but it was the same thing. They call you back and say, "You're next in line."
Oh, but they still do that.
Yeah, but
supposedly you hold your place in line too.
Yeah, but the weird thing about it is, I think you're right. I think there's still some voice activation loopholes that some of these companies use, so that you don't have to. So you're on the line listening to all their phony advertising, and nobody wants to listen to that.
It's not even phony advertising. It's services that they offer, but it just keeps repeating over and over. Most toll-free call wait times are actually an endless collection of prompts and pleads from an automated announcement urging you to let the system call you back when company representatives are not busy. The other thing that, you know, the one I love is, more often than not, I'm calling a doctor's office. And
well, those are you call those social calls.
Yeah, exactly. They'll tell you like 5 things of what you can do, 5 different prompts of numbers that you can hit. And then they say, "If this is an emergency, hang up and call 911. It's like, I'm already 3 minutes in, and now you're telling me to call 911 because I can't breathe?
Listen, if it were that much of an emergency, I wouldn't be calling you.
Well, and if it was, you should be telling me that first. The Hold For Me feature is an exclusive. Well, this is an exclusive on a particular phone. And I don't know anybody who owns a Google phone, but this is the $700 Pixel 5 latest edition of their phone. Actually, it won't even be available till October 29th. In selling the feature to the public, Google insists it doesn't monitor our activities while we're on hold. It doesn't listen to your microphone, but your callers are sure to love this. The audio from the business is temporarily recorded and saved to your device. Huh?
Why?
Callers are sure to love this. The audio from the business is temporarily recorded. Yeah. Why?
Why would I? First of all, why would you do that? And why would I like that?
Why would I want that?
Right.
I'm not. I don't think I'm understanding it properly.
Yeah, I'm not getting it either. But you know, on the other hand, if I got a phone that's kind of like losing, kind of short on space, last thing I want is for that kind of activity to be eating up data.
You know what I've discovered more often lately? Just because I was going to say because I'm not paying attention, but there's no real prompt to make me pay attention. At least three times this year, my mother has texted me to tell me that my voicemail is full. I can't believe that there's not a prompt on the iPhone that tells you, you know, like how many more voicemails you can still hold.
Right. Well,
or letting you know that it's almost full. And it's not full based on number of calls, obviously. It's based on the amount of time used.
Yeah. I've never really figured that out because, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, to delete a voicemail, you basically have to delete it twice. Because it basically, when you delete it the first time around, it puts everything into a folder. And that folder has to be cleared out, too.
What are you talking about?
Well, let's just say, let me just.
All right, I'm on my voicemail. I got a message here. I hit trash. It's gone.
But is it?
Yeah. I don't know of any other folder I have to look at.
Yeah, okay, so you hit delete. And then, let's see here.
And then deleted messages. Oh, now I see.
Yeah,
you go to deleted messages.
If you scroll all the way down, it's another list of all the messages that are queued to be deleted.
Right.
Once you clear all of that, then it opens up space in your voicemail box.
See, as far as I know, it opens up space as soon as you do that first one.
No. That's the weird part about it, because it holds it in a deleted file in case you decide, oh, damn, I didn't mean to delete that one. So this is kind of like a protection for you, but you really have to go through both in order to clear out the space.
I don't know about that.
No. I'm telling you, it's a weird.
Every time I've done the first one, and only the first one, I then have room to take voicemails again.
Right, but your deleted messages clears them out for good, and so you have, I believe, even more space to take more messages.
Well, I don't know. I'm not deleting them all. I'm holding on to a voicemail from Mike Belice from 2015. So I never just hit delete all because I don't.
No, you don't have to delete all.
Yeah.
You don't have to. But if in that deleted folder, you know, those are ones you don't want anyway. Typically, you know, if you let's say you accidentally erase that one from Mike, you could go back and restore it and you wouldn't lose it. But for all the others that you deleted, you get rid of them. Just taking up empty space. Worthless.
Well, some people say I'm doing that too.
Yeah, I know that. But for all the voicemails you got from like CVS that you have, this is a CVS courtesy call, and you've got two prescriptions waiting. Well, I don't need to keep that. Especially if I go get the prescriptions, I might as well just delete that voicemail.
My message usually says, this is CVS calling, and you have 30 chubbies waiting for you. That means my little blue pills are ready.
Right, right. The ones you don't really need. Yeah.
Yeah, right, for insurance purposes.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I totally understand. But that's the way to do it. But I agree with you. There needs to be some sort of notification that your your inbox is full and it needs to be cleared out. Because otherwise, you're basically waiting for someone to tell you that that's
and
the
how
case.
Are they going to tell you? Well, I mean, if they can text you at least and tell you, hey, tried to leave you. But who knows? You know, you look at your recents and you see you had 5 calls missed that you know they would have left voicemails if they could have. And then finally somebody tells you, hey, friend or relative tells you, hey, your voicemail is full, and you realize you missed 6 business calls or 6 doctor calls that didn't leave a message because they couldn't.
Right.
Yeah, I can't believe that the iPhones don't do that. I don't know if the other one, I don't know if Androids or Google phones. How many different phones are there?
There's quite a few.
See, that's the thing.
Everyone's in on it.
I know one person who has an Android. I used to know one person who had a Google phone. I think they got rid of it.
I know a lot of people that got an Android.
Well, that's the thing. You would think you would, that everybody would, because I believe there are more Androids out there than there are iPhones.
There are.
I'm still seeing more iPhones in person.
Well, a lot of them look very similar, too. I mean, it's not like there's a great difference between one manufacturer of an Android-based phone and an iPhone.
Well, they must be doing something different to make themselves look different.
Yeah, they're marketing it differently. They're pricing it differently.
Yeah, but, I mean, the screens are bigger, or the phone itself has got to be a little bit bigger. There's got to be something that makes you go, hey, what's that? Because it's obviously not an iPhone.
It's 8:23. We're back to O'Brien at Rock 102.
Get back on the road to see your friends and family now. Go to Gary Rum Hyundai. With our massive inventory and volume pricing, why would you...
Football all season long. This Sunday, the Patriots will host the San Francisco 49ers in Foxborough. The live Country Nissan pregame coverage begins at 1:30, kickoff schedule for 4:25. Join Bob Sosian and Scott Zolak as they bring you all the play-by-play action. The Patriots will play here on Rock 102.
You know, with over 230,000 people now dead from the coronavirus, you would think that maybe, and I'm not necessarily saying that I believe the person in charge of the rally is also the person in charge of the music, but considering all of the deaths that we've seen with the COVID, you know, playing... having a big rally of people waiting for you to arrive,
mm-hmm.
and while they're waiting, you're playing Funeral for a Friend may not be the best choice.
Really?
Yes. I saw it on the news last night. All these people standing out in an airport hangar
right.
in Arizona waiting for the arrival of a certain someone while Funeral for a Friend
all right,
is
but,
playing.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, it is a terrific piece of music, though.
Oh, it's
you
a good song.
You have to admit all 11 minutes, and then, you know, yeah. Love Lies Bleeding right after
oh,
that.
Yeah.
It's really quite inspirational.
I just think that might have been a better way to fill 11 minutes.
Well, I mean, you know, there's always there's always some other song that might be able to fit. I mean, assuming that the artist is allowing you to play that in a public form.
Doesn't matter whether he has permission or not. He plays it anyway. But, Funeral for a Friend.
We got news next on Rock 102.
The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event is here. With irresistible finance rates and a 2-month payment waiver, there's never been a better time to visit.
8:32 with Bax and O'Brien on Rock 102. It's time for news. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Sí, señor.
What was the hesitation there?
I was checking a text from someone about something.
Ah.
Something about something.
All right. I'm glad we got to the bottom of something.
Actually, we didn't really get to the bottom of anything.
But it's something.
Barely even at the top.
Visitation at the soldiers' home has been temporarily suspended after 3 veteran residents on 2 different units began exhibiting symptoms similar to COVID-19 over the weekend. A spokesperson for the Mass Executive Office of Health and Human Services said the 3 residents in question had recovered from the virus in the past. After they began experiencing symptoms over the weekend, the 3 were isolated and tested. 1 veteran's test came back positive, but subsequent tests came back negative. 2 other veterans have consistently tested negative. Additional testing is being done today and Wednesday to confirm these results. In the meantime, visitation and movement around the facility has been suspended. Those who have clinically recovered from COVID-19 can still test positive for the virus. This is the hard thing about all this testing, is that It's not proven that it's working. You know, these tests are working.
What do you mean?
Well, because if these guys testing positive, and it says you can test positive if you've had the virus in the past, that doesn't necessarily mean you have the virus again.
Yeah. The whole thing is a mess. Reading a story yesterday about surprise bills and for people with COVID. You know, you see the story every once in a while about the person who got out of the hospital after 185 days. Mm. And you know, people are all standing around clapping and cheering for him. And then you don't even think about the devastation that they can face, even with insurance. I mean, the story I was reading yesterday talked a lot about ambulances and helicopters, medical helicopters, and ambulance transfers. Like this one person who went 1 mile in an ambulance came up with a bill for like $4,000.
That's
person
insane.
Who went from one hospital to another in a helicopter came up with a bill for $51,000.
I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like I'm poo-pooing on EMTs or anything like that. But does it really cost that much money to transport?
First of all, it has
somebody?
Nothing to do with the EMT. It's the ambulance company.
That's what I mean. So the ambulance. I'm not criticizing the people who are working hard to save people. I'm
criticizing
talking about
the
company. Does the company really require $4,000 for a mile ride from somebody's house to a hospital? That's just seemingly ridiculously expensive.
You wouldn't think so, but these are also prices that are arranged between these kinds of companies and the insurance companies.
Not even, because a lot of times what was happening in these stories was it was either out-of-network stuff where the person didn't have the ability to say no. They were either unconscious or they were on a respirator or their proxies weren't there. And in a lot of cases, the insurance companies just say, no, we're not going to pay for this. And here's the part that you're responsible for. It's just, it's crazy. It was an amazing amount of money that people are getting stuck with for bills. And supposedly Congress was right on the verge of passing a bill to prevent surprise medical billing. And it got kiboshed by the lobbyists.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
A handful of lawmakers from both sides of the Assle have asked the Massachusetts marijuana regulators.
It's the Isle, I believe.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Have asked the Massachusetts marijuana regulators scrap the proposed delivery license that would let operators buy marijuana wholesale from cultivators and manufacturers, store it in a warehouse, and deliver it to consumers at home. The CCC is expected today to consider feedback and hold a final discussion about its draft delivery policy, which would create two distinct delivery license types, a limited delivery license that would allow an operator to charge a fee to make deliveries from CCC licensed retailers and dispensaries, and a wholesale delivery license. But in a letter last week, 19 state lawmakers told the CCC they believe the wholesale delivery license category proposed in the draft regulations was not contemplated nor supported by the enabling legislation, and that asked the commission to reconsider its plan to take a final vote on the regulations next week. The lawmakers, including Marijuana Policy Committee co-chair Representative Mark Cusack, said the successful 2016 legalization question in the ballot laws amended by the legislature in 2017 deliberately and intentionally created a license that made clear delivery of marijuana to consumers is directly and only linked to marijuana retail establishments, and that a wholesale delivery license to direct consumers is clearly not contemplated in the law.
It shouldn't be. I mean, you know, once again, there's a lot of other states that have done things before we did. And we really should just follow examples. When my brother was working for Curaleaf down in Florida, it was Curaleaf who hired and employed and directed and provided vehicles for the drivers. There weren't any wholesalers. There weren't any third-party delivery systems. You just let the companies or the dispensaries run their own delivery systems. It's You don't need an Uber Eats.
No, you need a Duber.
Yeah, a Duber.
Duber Eats. I like
that's
that.
What you need right there.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you can eliminate that whole third-party system just by allowing the distributors, or the dispensaries, rather, to do their own distribution. It just seems like it would be a lot easier that way.
I mean, I can understand if you're a medical patient needing the stuff, and you may not be ambulatory enough to go to a dispensary to get your stuff. But if you're able-bodied and can go, I mean, I don't even know if the delivery service is necessary.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing for groceries. I mean, if you're able-bodied and able to go, there's a lot of people who don't want to leave the house during COVID. So they don't want to go and stand inside a dispensary either.
But this legislation would go beyond, you know, well beyond COVID. I mean, this is really about, you know, the future of that industry.
Well, it's the same thing for groceries and restaurants and, you know, everybody delivers now. But the question is, who should be delivering? And in restaurants, we've decided to allow Uber Eats and Grubhubs and the middlemen like that. But if you're going to be so regulated around marijuana, you might as well do the same thing. You might as well just have the companies that provide the marijuana be their own deliverers. I mean, like I said, my brother's company, they even provided you the car. You weren't even using your own car. You had to use their car.
Their company vehicle.
Yes, they provided the vehicle for delivery, and it had to be a two-person delivery team for every car.
Who's watching the watchers?
That's what I'd like to know. So is this thing going to be like all wrapped with logos so everybody in the neighborhood knows exactly what's coming to your house?
No, they're unmarked so that nobody knows. There's somebody driving around either carrying a car full of pot or possibly a bunch of cash.
If they can target, say, a guy delivering Domino's pizzas or Chinese food to your house, imagine how they target a minivan loaded with weed.
Yeah, well, since the Domino's guy has a Domino's sign on his car, he's probably easier to pick out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you would. These are unmarked cars. Although, you know, it's probably like an unmarked cop car. Who can't pick out an unmarked cop car when they see one?
Like, they see a magnetic joint lit up on the top of a car. That'd be kind of funny. I used to have my friend's mother worked for a baby doll factory. And they put together dolls. And we would take the pieces of the dolls and do things with them. Not dirty, but like we took Bondo, the stuff that fills in the stuff on your cars, and I had this old beater crappy Chevy Celebrity that I had, and we took the baby doll head and we cut a hole in the back, but we Bondoed it to the roof of the car, and then we shoved the flashlight in the back of it so it lit up as I drove down the
street. That's like the freakiest thing I've ever heard of.
It was really creepy. I think there's only like one picture of it.
I saw somebody driving down the street the other day. I think it was a Jeep, and they had like skeletons, you know, from the torso up, hanging out the top and the back of the car. It was obviously just a Christmas, a Halloween decoration, but looked kind of cool.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Next month, neighbors along Memorial Avenue in West Springfield will have a chance to voice their concerns about plans to add bike lanes and eliminate on-street parking along the Route 147 corridor. At the town council meeting yesterday, their elected officials got a head start on criticism of the proposed $25 million project. They worried that popular eateries and other businesses along the popular stretch, that the densely built neighborhood across from the Big E, would suffer if the paved shoulder currently used as a parking lane were widened and designated as a bike lane. DOT plans for the bike lanes on both shoulders of the roadway, as well as a shared use bike and walking path on the side adjacent to the Big E grounds. This is kind of a bad idea because you're eliminating parking for most of those businesses that don't have parking behind a building or on a side street.
Where are these businesses?
You got Latitude Restaurant. You got any number of those places down there.
Memos.
Memos is a good one, too. Yep. But even there's furniture stores. There's all kinds of stuff along there.
So I'm sorry. Again, somebody had sent me something in relation to something we were talking about. But in a lot of places, they have the parking spaces and then the bike lane and then the travel lane.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to do that with the amount of room that they have in order to make this bike lane. Because a lot of those storefronts are, there's no more frontage to take away. You got the sidewalk and then you got the street.
Right, but I mean, you can still make it. It depends on the order that you do it in. If you don't try to put the bicycles closest to the curb, instead you put the cars closest to the curb, then you put the bike lane between the parked cars and the moving cars. That way, although, you know, it's seemingly dangerous then too, because the people who are parking could open their doors into a bike. I mean, if they can do it in New York City, for God's sake, they could do it on Memorial Avenue.
No, they can't. We can't do anything. We just talked about that whole cannabis commission thing. We can't do anything like other people have done successfully.
We have to do it special. And by the way, you know, people have been riding bikes forever. When was it decided that we needed to have marked bike lanes in the roads?
Yeah, just do like the rest of the douchebag bicycles. Right down the middle.
Popping wheelies and stuff.
No,
or
not even.
Ride on the side of the road like they've been doing for 200 years.
Not even that. Those people who, you know, do that for recreation and exercise.
Yeah, that's crazy. They want to be riding their bike in a safe manner. I don't see why you'd want to do that. And I know if I'm walking around the Big E all day, the last thing I want to do is hop on a bike and go home.
But it's a great way to stay in shape.
So it's walking around the Big E, spending all kinds of money.
Eating food.
Eating.
That'll kill you.
Eating your cronuts and wondering, how come my feet are sore?
Yeah, the bike people, the worst part is like out in the country where I live, and there's no shoulder to most of those roads. So you got the bicyclist going down a giant hill.
Yep.
And you got to like slow down to a crawl because you can't pass the bicyclist because you're coming up on a blind curve that you can't see around. Ridiculous. You know,
if something was to happen to the bicyclist out there, it would be a long time before anyone.
I think somebody would find out very quickly.
Right. I don't know. Depends on how far you want to knock them off the road.
Let's just be clear that you're not suggesting anybody.
No, of course
do
I'm not.
That
would be irresponsible.
Just imagining what it would be like.
A television station security guard accused of fatally shooting a police demonstrator following opposing rallies has been charged with second-degree murder. The Denver's district court clerk's office said the charges were filed against Matthew Dulloff early Monday in the death of 49-year-old Lee Keltner. Dulloff was protecting a KUSA TV producer at the time of the incident. The next hearing is set for tomorrow morning. No attorney has been listed for Dulloff in court records. People convicted of second-degree murder face a mandatory sentence of between 16 and 48 years in prison.
Yeah, but again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when it first happened. I mean, second-degree murder instead of first-degree murder. The guy that he shot was spraying him with pepper spray. And not just, you know, the small little canister that the mailman carries. And also, at the same time, not the giant thing that the police carry either. But somewhere in the middle, it was a larger-than-normal canister of tear gas. And I would think that shooting somebody that's doing that to you is self-defense. And I know that's what their lawyers are going for.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... Absolutely, they would go for that. But
they should. I mean, I'm surprised they even charged the guy. You see it on video that he's being pepper sprayed. You know, once you're pepper sprayed and you're incapacitated, you're no longer able to defend yourself. So.
Yeah, but no one's. But you could make the. And I'm not saying I agree with this, but I can see the argument being made that being sprayed with pepper spray is not going to kill somebody. You know, I mean, it's an escalated event, obviously, and I understand the idea of defending yourself, but if I'm putting myself in the shoes of their attorneys, I'm thinking, all right, he's not going to get killed because he gets sprayed in the eyes with pepper spray, and does that justify him getting shot?
He could get killed when you disable him with the pepper spray and then take the gun away from him and use it to kill him.
Right.
That's the problem.
I understand that, but until that happens... Is that an unlawful use of deadly force to shoot him?
Well, but one won't happen until the process begins.
Right, but you're not prosecuting someone based upon what would have happened. You're prosecuting someone on what did happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's like the tasers. I mean, when a police officer can be justified in using deadly force if a suspect gets his taser away. Because if somebody was to use the taser on the cop, then you disable the cop, you can then take his gun. I don't know about.
But this is what makes it an interesting case. Because, yeah. You know, you have to now then define what the risk assessment is in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wrapped up a 19-month investigation yesterday into, are you ready for this one? $1 million flying squirrel trafficking ring.
How long was the investigation?
19 months.
Yeah.
There are seven men in a rural part of Florida who are trapping flying squirrels, which is illegal because they're a protected species in the state.
Was this Operation Rocky J?
And now here's something you'll really like.
Rock, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Then they would sell them to dealers in Florida and Georgia who would find buyers in South Korea and claim the squirrels were illegally raised. The buyers would fly to Florida, then drive the squirrels to Chicago. They flew them before they flew them home.
They didn't fly themselves.
No, they're
flying squirrels. Yeah, why do you have to fly with them?
Because they're not actually airborne rodents.
They don't have the money to. You know what kind of fuel it requires to fly from Florida to South Korea? And the interchanges and the layovers. It's easier to just give them to some guy in Chicago and take them directly over there.
I just don't think it's necessary to have to fly a flying squirrel.
The men caught around 36,000 flying squirrels in 3 years, and the retail value is approximately $1 million.
Are these being used for pets?
Breeding.
Is this a cult that mutilates
squirrels?
So far, the seven men have been arrested, and more arrests are coming. And you see the mugshots of these four that were already arrested?
No, but I can imagine them.
They have three teeth among the four of them.
Yeah.
And it's very Florida man mugshotty, especially the guy with the missing front teeth and the mullet.
You know, they don't even really fly.
No,
they just kind of glide.
Yeah, no, they're jumpers, really. They glide.
From one spot to a lower spot. They don't jump up. They don't fly in an upward trajectory. It's just coming down.
The guy I got at my my exterminator. I call him
Carl.
Carl. Yeah, Carl, the exterminator.
Yeah.
We used to call him that in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
He was saying how, like, flying squirrels are, like, this big thing. Like, people get infested with them in homes around here with these flying squirrels.
They're around here?
Yeah, so I was like, no way. And apparently, yes, they are.
Well, this is what happens, you know. It's like the pythons in Florida. Once you introduce an invasive species into a new climate or a new environment, rather, then they could possibly take over.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody might have brought, and that's what we're doing. That's what they're probably doing in Korea. There's probably no flying squirrels in Korea, but they're bringing them over from here. And then they've got them.
I'm still fascinated by those Reese's monkeys down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Reese's peanut butter monkeys.
I like those.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best kind.
But no, the Reese's monkeys, they were brought there to film a Tarzan movie back in 1938.
Mm-hmm.
And they escaped. So now you got like hundreds of monkeys down in that Ocala, Florida area that they've turned into a state park now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to do your little kayak business through there, the monkeys start throwing things at you.
And you know what monkeys throw.
Poo.
Exactly.
They start throwing poo.
But they also attack. But they don't really attack. From the videos that, you know, like, oh, man attacked by Reese's monkeys in Florida Park.
He's just defending themselves.
Yeah, they're just like telling you to get the hell away from them. Get away. Right. Go.
This is our place now. You're not welcome.
Hmm.
Squirrels, by the way, there are a tribe of 50 species of them, and they are not capable of flight in the same way as a bird or a bat, but they are able to glide from one tree to another with the aid of a pantagium, a patagium, a furry parachute-like membrane that stretches from their wrist to their ankle.
It's got like they got like webbed arms and feet. It's crazy to see them all spread out. I know, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Hmm.
You could jump out of high places and glide right down to the ground.
They originated 18 to 20 million years ago.
I would love to have webbed feet.
I'd like to be able to just fly. I want to be the Mandalorian. I just saw the commercial for it a little while ago.
I knew a man that owned a DeLorean. It didn't do him any good.
No, a Mandalorian.
That's what I just said. Hmm.
Did he have some questionable relationship with a young teenage boy who he then took to a mall at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they got in a car, and then they were transported immediately back to 1955?
Yeah, and you know what's also crazy? At one point during this, the boy almost made out with his mom.
Get
I know!
What kind of movie is that?
I have no idea.
That's like that stepmom stuff on Pornhub.
And yet it's the kind of thing that... that elicits two more sequels.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast, you never saw Back to the Future?
No.
Yes, you did.
Of course I did, you douches.
It is going to be cloudy with chance of some rain showers with a high of 68. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain and a high of 72. It's 57 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102. Ah, yeah.
Are you an experienced fuel
or Springfield Cooley Street Big Y?
It's 8:56 at Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Yeah, I don't really care for baseball anyway, but they're doing a story now on the Today Show about the new normal. The World Series, starting down in Arlington, Texas, between Los Angeles and Tampa Bay, neither of whom, obviously, are from there. And people will not be in the stands. I'm not a big basketball or hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I don't even remember who won the titles. Well, the Lakers won.
And then Tampa won the Stanley
Cup.
That's
true. That's true, too. So here's Tampa, who has not won a Stanley Cup or a World Series in a long time, that could have had two separate victory parades in their cities if it were any other year. Because that's the other thing you're missing out on. You don't get the victory parade.
Well, it's like we were talking with Cohen yesterday. You know, the Lakers win a championship. Only 76 people were arrested. Well, that's considered a regular Sunday night in Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's got to be like every other day.
Yeah, no police vehicles overturned, hardly anything set on fire, and they're holding back on any victory parade until, you know, they get beyond the pandemic, which could be never. Next season could have started.
Beyond next season, in which case you'd have to have two even if, you know, Tampa lucked out and won the World Series and the Stanley Cup in 1 year. So let's say the COVID passes by next summer. You'd have one parade for the Rays and the hockey team.
Lightning.
Who is it? Lightning, right. Yeah. The Rays and the Lightning, same parade, one parade.
Well, you could certainly do that. That would be quite an event. But, you know, I mean, okay, so you won a championship. You know, these are different times. People are not as passionate about the championship games unless you're really in it. So you skip a victory parade. Yeah, that's okay.
Well, you're going to have to.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you just don't do it. You don't do it a year from now. You don't do it later on. You say, thank you very much. We'll enjoy the Stanley Cup for a while, and then that'll be it.
But you know, all those things got an asterisk.
But all those events in which the Stanley Cup shows up at, you know, different events, you know, the other parades or fairs or, you know, what have you, that ain't going to happen. Not the next 12 months, it's not.
Probably not even next year.
No.
And you know what? I'll still sleep tonight like a baby.
Of course you will, because you have not a care in the world.
Not a care.
It's 8:59, Rock 102.
The Bax and O'Brien podcast is sponsored by TNT Expert Tree Service in South Hadley.